Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 19th of October 2020. Damn, October's almost gone already. Halloween is nearly upon us. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope it's a good one. Getting to the weekend. Give me the freaking weekend already. Congratulations again to Peggy for winning the book. She responded quite quickly to my first message that she'd won. And there was a spelling in there. I think I was right about the correct spelling, but I had to send you another message, Peggy. So you've got to respond to that message. I don't want to send this off into the ether and have it disappear. So check your messages again, Peggy, and congratulations again. You can enter to win this week's signed book, which is freaking awesome, too. It is Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation by Ken Starr, signed by Ken Starr himself. You learn about the whole investigation from the inside, what it was like going up against the Clinton machine. And you're not going to find many copies of this signed by Ken Starr, to be perfectly honest with you. I should sell the damn thing, but I'm giving it to you. So go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. If you are a member, a patron there at patreon.com, you just comment on the post. You take a look at the pictures. You see the actual literal copy of the book that you will be getting should your name be drawn. And you just post a comment there. Doesn't have to be cute or clever or funny or mean or nasty or anything. Although I enjoy all of those because your name is just entered randomly and then the one is picked. So there's nothing I can do to fix it or rig it, although I am open to bribes. I am. I'll be perfectly honest about that. You can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. Thanks to everybody for rating and reviewing on iTunes and subscribing from wherever you get this thing and spreading the word. Your word of mouth is all that we have. So appreciate it. We're going to start off with Colin Powell news, of course. He passed away, and I did more research after I'd recorded this, and now, of course, they start talking about the comorbidities and things like that, and so he had cancer, and he had Parkinson's disease, and so it doesn't, I just wish that they would be more specific in the reporting. Instead of being first, how about you try to be right? Not too much to ask. Anyway, so you'll get into that. It's not a big part of the show. It's more media reaction to it. And my prediction, we'll find out if I'm right or not in the next 24 to 48 hours. Anyway, before you find out if I'm right or not, find out why I'm not full of it. That's right, I am not full of it. And I'm not full of it thanks to Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. Go to getthetea.com. You order some Life Change Tea. It's the tea that makes you go, cleans you out, and gives you more energy. How? How can a tea that makes you poop make you have more energy? Because it's like a squeegee for your innards, and it cleans you out, your digestive tract, which then allows your body to absorb more of the food, more of the nutrition from the food that you consume. There's nothing blocking it, nothing stopping it. That leads to more energy. That's right. Go to getthetea.com. Enter promo code Derek at checkout, D-E-R-E-K. Click apply. You get free fast shipping on top of everything else. Quite the deal, I assure you. And you help the show. You help me. You help yourself, most importantly. Getthetea.com. Promo code Derek. Now, get on with the news of the day. Starting off here, we got to talk about the story that broke this morning. The Colin Powell, the death of Colin Powell. And, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what am I going to say about this? How am I going to cover this? How am I going to talk about this? Because it's one of those situations, a rare situation, where I go and question my inner monologue. You know, it's like, is this Is that really what you want to say? And frankly, it is. You know, you sit there and you go, like, you just got to say, look, nothing against Colin Powell as an individual, as a general. He was a fine man. Everybody who knew him speaks very highly of him, as you'd expect. This isn't about Colin Powell. This is about Colin Powell, in quotes. There's a difference. The man Colin Powell passed away at the age of 84, according to his family, from COVID-related complications. Now, there will be people out there who will insist this is yet another myth. No way do they have COVID. COVID is a blah, blah, blah. And again, because this is what they say, but it would require the Powell family to be in on it. And I don't think that I don't think there are very many families who are going to go, let's lie about the cause of death of our loved one. I just don't think there are very many people out there who would do that. But he was fully vaccinated. So on a couple of different levels, there's many things and many angles to talk about with Colin Powell's death. One being the fully vaccinated route. He's fully vaccinated. 84, but fully vaccinated. Now we know, look, we've been told, no vaccine is foolproof or whatever. But at a time when this administration is pounding on people's heads and chests, going, get vaccinated, get vaccinated, get vaccinated, it will be interesting to see how they handle the news of, if I think about it, I think Colin Powell is probably the most famous person to die of COVID so far. There have been other people, there have been, you know, former, but they just haven't acted in a while, and people like from Broadway and things like that, they're elderly. But as far as people we've all sort of heard of, I think Colin Powell might be the most well-known person to die from COVID. I'll have to look that up. But there's going to be some explanations that are needed. We need to know, did Colin Powell have any other comorbidities? Did Colin Powell, did he have cancer? He's 84 years old, so there's a decent chance that he's going to have something. At 84 years old is a pre-existing condition in and of itself. But if you're looking and you're in the Biden administration, if you're the media, you've got to find a way to sort of explain how a fully vaccinated person ended up dying of COVID-related complications. That being said, this is where the cynical part comes in me. There's now, you know, a new job they're hiring. There's somebody's hiring now. Who? The mainstream media and the Democratic Party. They work in conjunction. They have a joint operation. They are working together to do what? To elect Democrats. Colin Powell has done what? He's endorsed more Democrats than he ever endorsed Republicans, but somehow he was always billed as a Republican. At one point in the, it must have been the 90s, he declared himself to be a Republican, and nobody ever said on what or how, in what way. And ever since then, he has been a Democrat pretty much, except for the 2000. The 2000 election, I don't even know if he actually did it in the 2004 election, but in the 2000 election, he did endorse George W. Bush because he was friends with Poppy Bush. It's fine. Who cares? An endorsement. I don't think anybody was sitting on the fence going, I wasn't going to make a move until I found out what Colin Powell was going to say. But it is interesting and worth talking about. Still, after that, after he made the argument, and remember, this is probably before the nightly news. I'm going to guess that they're not going to focus a whole lot on this. I don't know how they ignore it, so I imagine it'll be mentioned, but it won't get a lot of focus. Colin Powell went to the United Nations, and Colin Powell made the impassioned argument that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? He's sitting there and he's talking. I remember it because I watched it live on television. And I know the guy who is sitting behind him, a guy named Kim Holmes. Maybe I'll try to talk to Kim Holmes. Kim Holmes was, when I was at the Heritage Foundation, he was the vice president of foreign policy. And then a couple years into the Bush administration, he went and became under secretary or deputy secretary of state or something like that. Ended up coming back to the Heritage Foundation. He's a bass player in a band, not a bad bass player, really nice guy. I've always found him to be nice. But he was sitting right behind him. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. And Colin Powell made that. And Colin Powell got the UN, got a lot of Democrats too, on board with the idea of invading Iraq. Now, I don't think anybody out, well, there are some people out there who are lamenting the fact that Saddam Hussein is dead. Sure. Those are leftists who just don't want good things for the world or the country. But he was responsible for that. After that, he kind of, once it became clear that there were no weapons of mass destruction, once it became clear that the intelligence community had soiled the sheets, ruined the bed, Colin Powell was worried about his reputation. He was the face of it. There were all sorts of reports at the time. You might not remember this, but I remember it plain as day. There were a lot of reports after the invasion of Iraq right around the 2004 election where the Bush lied, people died sort of thing, that Colin Powell was very angry. Colin Powell was very bitter about being the face of making the case for war with Iraq. Again, not attacking Colin Powell. I'm just recounting what was going on at the time, back in 2003, 2004. He was very angry about that because he thought that it had sullied his reputation. And it had. But it sullied his reputation with people who were never going to like him because he was a Republican. So he did. Now, I don't know. I can't judge what goes on in a man's heart. But his positions on things, and particularly within party politics, his party loyalties changed. He became a Democrat in that time, or at least an open Democrat in that time. He had worked in the Clinton administration too, but yeah, whatever. You're a career military guy, political appointee or not, you stick around. The president asks you to stick around. But somewhere in there, he didn't endorse John Kerry in 2004. I think John Kerry was a bridge too far. John Kerry was too anti-military, and I think everybody saw that John Edwards was just a creep. But when it came time in 2008, where Colin Powell had the opportunity to endorse his longtime buddy, his good friend, John McCain. Oh, boy, howdy, did he love John McCain. Him and John McCain was a maverick, and Colin Powell loved that. He endorsed Barack Obama. He endorsed Barack Obama for what he basically admitted was because he was black. He wanted to see the first black president. I don't suppose I could blame him for that. He probably had a horrible upbringing coming up when he did. But, you know, let's not pretend that it was anything more than that. But after that moment, Colin Powell has done nothing but endorse Democrats. Yet he was billed by the media as Republican Colin Powell today came out and endorsed Joe Biden. Republican Colin Powell came out and endorsed Joe Biden? Republican? How is he a Republican? In what way is he a Republican? I would say if you've gone three election cycles endorsing a Democrat, you're a Democrat. He also announced publicly that he had changed his party affiliation. I think he didn't go full Democrat. I think he pulled the I'm independent. I'm now registered independent. Here's a bit of a pro tip. You register how you register for and what you... It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. You're not bound legally to vote. I'm a registered Republican, therefore I must walk into the polling place and vote Republican, lest I lose my right to vote, lest I be shunned by the community. It doesn't matter what you register as. People who make a big stink about what they register as, oh, I'm a registered this or I'm a registered that, and I've changed my everybody who changes their registration does it in a press release. Joe Scarborough, I have changed my registration to independent. So what? It's not going to change how you vote. You're an idiot. You're still an idiot. You're dumb. You married Mika. That's all we needed to know. People drive me nuts. Oh, I'm a registered independent now. Oh, okay. So before you were what? A drone? A mindless drone doing what you were told? Some secret mental telepathy order was sent out to you and you dutifully went to the polls, but now that you've changed your registration, It's different. I tell you, they basically threw Colin Powell a parade when he changed his party registration. Joe Scarborough, I think, got a contract extension. Whenever anybody leaves the Republican Party, they are heralded, they are celebrated, they are cheered. Like, oh my goodness, they are so enlightened. Look at what they've done. Now a registered independent or a registered Democrat or whatever. Last week, Andrew Yang. Remember Andrew Yang? Last week, Andrew Yang put out a book called Forward. He also left the Democratic Party. Now, this was a guy who ran for president on the Democratic ticket just last year. Lasted a hell of a lot longer than our vice president did. He started a third party called the Forward Party or something like that. I don't know what it's called. It doesn't matter. It's going to be irrelevant. But he made a big public stink, or at least tried to make a big public stink, about him leaving the Democratic Party to become an independent as a member of this Forward Party. Did you hear about it? Did it stop? Did it break news anywhere? No. I bet you heard about when Joe Scarborough said, "I'm no longer a Republican." I bet you heard something about that. If you think about it, you probably heard Colin Powell. You probably heard a lot of people who said, "I'm no longer a Republican." You never hear about Democrats. It happens. It happened just last week. It happened to a fairly prominent Democrat who not only was running for president, he also ran for mayor of New York. Ran a horrible campaign based on identity politics, failed miserably. But he did it. Changed his party registration, and nobody seems to notice or care, or it doesn't matter. But it's weird how that works. So as you hear all the eulogies for Colin Powell, and as you hear all these, there are going to be certain things that they focus on and certain things they don't focus on. Colin Powell became a favorite amongst the left-wing intelligentsia in the last 20 years of his life because he could be reliably counted on to be out there as a Republican endorsing a Democrat, regardless of who the Democrat is. Now, if I'm looking at this as an honest broker, as a member of the media, but of course those two things are completely mutually exclusive now. If I'm looking at this from a media perspective or an honest perspective, and I say, you're a Republican who's endorsing Barack Obama over John McCain. You're a Republican who's endorsing Barack Obama over Mitt Romney. You're a Republican who's endorsing Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. You're a Republican who's endorsing Joe Biden over Donald Trump. My question would be, what are you Republican on? Why do you call yourself a Republican? When was the last time you voted for a Republican? I don't think he was ever asked that. I suspect, again, the answer would be 2000. I think by 2004, he might have not gone for John Kerry when the curtain was pulled. He might have written in his own name. But I can't believe he really cared about George W. Bush after George W. Bush made him, well, in his mind, mad, made him look bad. He looked bad all on his own. But it's just, again, I'm not trying to belittle the man's life or death. I do want to know if he had any comorbidities. But the way the media is going to portray him is going to be something to behold. And then going forward, they are going to need a new... There's always a need for a John McCain, for a Colin Powell, for anybody from the Lincoln Project, although I think they prefer them with less, you know, child molestation baggage. But they need somebody they can claim is a Republican who's now a Democrat because the Republican Party has, quote, gone too far. Oh, they're so over that. Colin Powell filled that perfectly for the last 20 years of his life. It's really the only time you ever heard about or from him was when he was dragged out to endorse a Democrat publicly as a Republican, to which I would say, why are you a Republican? Are you actually a Republican? And the answer, of course, is no, you're not actually a Republican. So rest in peace, Colin Powell. And for all of you sitting on the fence out there, you Adam Kitzingers and Liz Cheneys out there, I know you're in office right now, so you can't do the job, but you might want to start the interview process and consider resigning from Congress so you can get a leg up on the competition in getting that job. Just saying. Now, we've got to talk about the supply chain again, and Secretary Mayor Pete. because there's a, they will say it's kind of a controversy going on about Secretary Mayor Pete, but it's really not a controversy going on about Secretary Mayor Pete, not in any real sense. It is a manufactured one. It is a manufactured one to cover up for the fact that Secretary Mayor Pete has been such a failure as secretary. He was a failure as mayor, so he's just completing the set. He's a failure as Secretary Mayor Pete. Of course, you know that he's been on maternity leave or paternity leave. I know it's a horrible sexist and billed as a gay joke, but whenever I hear about it, I think that's it's maternity leave. I don't assign gender to it, but there is gender assigned to it, so I have to be more careful with my language. I never took paternity leave or maternity leave. I took a week's vacation when my kids were born, I think. Maybe not even the second time. It's amazing how when you have, like, your first kid, you're nervous as hell. You're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And everything burps and moves, and you're, like, jumping all over going, what's wrong? What do we do? And you're scared to death, and you're buying the bottle warmer thing, and you're buying the wipe warmer thing. And you're like, oh, this child must have everything, and it must be taken. And then the second one comes along, and you're like, oh, the bottle warmer broke. Well, I don't know, just run under the hot water or something. I don't know. Cold wipes? Well, you got to deal with that. You kind of lose. You can see, because I was the youngest of five, and my parents, I wouldn't say they'd given up by the time I came along, but they'd certainly relaxed quite a bit of the restrictions that otherwise they would have done. You know, my brother and sisters had to do a lot of things I didn't have to do. That was a gap between everybody else is 2 years apart. There was a gap between me and my youngest sister. So by the time it came along, they're like, hey, you don't want to do this that everybody else had to do? Man, you don't have to do that. You don't want to do this? I didn't want to go to catechism. They all had to go to catechism. I didn't want to go to catechism. All I knew is at like age 10 or something, it was going to make me do something after school on like a Monday or whatever for several hours. I had no idea what it was. We didn't go to church regularly. It was mostly to placate my grandfather, I would assume, but he was dead by then. So I said, I didn't want to go. My mom said, well, you got to go. Everybody else went. And so I went to my dad and I said, I don't want to go. And my dad said, well, do you believe in God? I said, yes. He said, well, that's good enough. I didn't have to go, and all my siblings were, like, up in arms. Oh, my God, can you believe this is unfair? But I had won. Because I think it was by the time, my mom didn't put up a stink either. By the time I came around, they were like, eh, we'll let him do it. Meh. But Secretary Mayor Pete, is he made the rounds. He actually came out of paternity leave over the weekend to address his job. Now, again, it's pathetic that the Secretary of Transportation hasn't been on the job for 2 months and nobody noticed. Nobody noticed at all. Kind of tells you something about the job itself, and particularly maybe the guy who's filling the job. The big transportation bill trying to ram through Congress, and the Secretary of Transportation isn't anywhere to be found. And nobody noticed. Nobody noticed. That means nobody was waiting for him. Nobody cared. But he was, he did make the rounds now, and he's defending himself. And he is defending himself against the meanies on the right, particularly Tucker Carlson, who have said that he should have been doing his job. He whined about people who are criticizing him for taking 2 months off on CNN. 2 months off is a big deal. There are a lot of jobs where if you take 2 months off because you've got it, it's your right to take it. That's fine. And it's his right to take it. It's the law and the federal government. But when you're in the midst of a crisis, is it smart to take it? And if you're going to take it, if you need to take it, you want to take it, whatever, nobody notices you're gone, should you come back? And really, should you have taken the job in the first place if you want to take it? And maternity leave is, so they say, so you can get a woman, a mother and a daughter, mother and child can bond or whatever. I don't buy into that crap. I don't think there's a whole lot of bonding going on when the kid's eyes are open for about 20 minutes a day. I don't buy into that. My wife does. If she's listening, she'll be mad at me for saying it, but I never bought into that stuff. It's once they start responding, the memories start forming, then I think you can bond with a kid. But when they're just a pooping paperweight, probably not so much serious bonding. But hey, it didn't come out of my body directly. So however a mother wants to handle it. But the idea that a man needs to take the time off, a woman gets maternity leave in part because their body goes through hell at birth. Their body's ripped apart at birth. It goes through, you need at least a couple of weeks to recover from that. And you got the C-section, you need even more time to recover from that. Man didn't go through anything. Pete and Chasten didn't go through anything. That's why it drives me nuts that they have a picture of the two of them sitting in a hospital bed, tying up a hospital bed for a photo shoot. So he's coming out trying to defend himself. He can't defend his actions on their merits. Look, if you got Chasten at home, I don't think Chasten has got a job. Maybe he does. But if he does, it's not Secretary of Transportation in the midst of a supply chain crisis. So maybe Chasten stays home. I get it. You want to be there for every poopy diaper. Nobody wants to be there for every poopy diaper. But you can say that, and who's going to tell you differently? And you want the time off. Mayor Secretary Pete's dad is a communist college professor. He's not a big fan of freedoms and liberties and responsibilities, so he probably rubbed off on him in that way. And he said, I have this. This is my, I just imagine Pete going, that's not in my job description. That kind of thing. That kind of guy. And like, if I can do it, I'm going to do it. At some point, a normal human being would look at the supply chain disaster and the ships off the West Coast and the problems with getting supplies, important supplies, necessary supplies to the American public and go, I should probably do something about that since it is my job. But instead, he didn't. He seems angrier that he was called out for not doing his job. Seems angrier that he had to return to the job. So listen, this is Secretary Mayor Pete whining about people criticizing him for taking 2 months off. He did a lot of this weekend. It's something to behold. Pathetic, but something to behold.
As you might imagine, we're bottle feeding and doing it at all hours of the day and night. And I'm not going to apologize to Tucker Carlson or anyone else for taking care of my premature newborn infant twins. The work that we are doing is joyful, fulfilling, wonderful work. It's important work. And it's work that every American ought to be able to do when they welcome a new child into their family. I campaigned on that. So did the president. The Build Back Better agenda includes provisions for paid family leave.
Quit. Quit your job. You'll have all the time in the world. I'm not going to apologize for doing this. Are you going to apologize for using your children as a shield against charges of incompetence that you've put on full display? Are you going to do that, Secretary Mayor Pete? Because that, I think, you know, is a little bit grosser. A little bit more gross than sitting around saying, hey, this guy should be doing his job. We're bottle feeding, as you might imagine. What do you want to bet this guy's got a nanny? What do you bet this guy's got a night nurse? Again, Chasten has all the time in the world. Chasten isn't secretary of anything. Chasten can sit home and feed the kids during the day. Pete can come home at lunch. Pete can go and at night feed the kids and give Chasten the night off. You can do all sorts of things with this. Instead of just going, well, I'm entitled to this. I get 2 months. I'm going to take 2 months. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what's going on. I know they can't fire me. Yeah, they can't fire me, so I'm going to do it. Sorry, Secretary Mayor Pete, but you have a job to do. Your job is more important than you are, and dare I say more important than whether or not you bond with these kids that you just got. Can't do your job? Resign from your job. It's pretty simple. If you can't do your job, resign from your job. Solves a lot of problems. You get all the time in the world with your kids. And the American public gets a functioning functioning Secretary of Transportation. Now, it'd take a while to find a replacement, but there's got to be somebody in the food chain who can do the job on an interim basis. Instead, you're setting a horrible example and then wrapping yourself in your children and your homosexuality as a shield against criticism. It's pathetic. Not surprising, but pathetic. We've got a lot more to get to. We've got some audio to get to. We've got all the news about Secretary Mayor Pete isn't about his paternity leave and his bottle feeding of his children and blah, 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 because he is the Secretary of Transportation. It's kind of important. But when you look at the way the Biden administration, we're experiencing some pretty massive inflation, right? Pretty massive inflation right now. That's damaging to the U.S. economy. There's no end in sight for it, even though Ginger Goebbels was on, I forget what show, she was on with Jake Tapper. And she talked about how, well, prices are rising. She said that the, don't worry, experts, economists say that the inflation is going to go away next year. And you're sitting there going, who? What? First of all, these people are always wrong. There isn't an economist out there who gets this stuff right ever in anything, from jobs numbers to growth to anything. They're up, they're down, they're all over the place. They never come close to hitting it. These people have been saying, and the Biden administration have been saying, this is transitory inflation. It's temporary. It's just good. And now they're saying, oh, okay, maybe it's not. So what do they do? Just like with climate change, where they say, well, the next 10 years, we're going to all have to be mermen too. Well, in 150 years, we're going to have to be mermen. Why? Because there's not going to be anybody around to remember that they were lied to. That's why you change it from 10 to 100-year predictions, and as opposed to all the 10-year predictions that were wildly inaccurate, wildly wrong, lies. But when it comes to economics, they predict on a monthly basis. We get weekly economic numbers. We get unemployment numbers. Well, that's not what economists thought. That's less or more than economists thought. And so you get this pattern of these people being wrong. Now they're predicting into next year. Because Democrats, nobody knows what's going to happen next year, for God's sakes, especially in terms of the economy. But Ginger Goebbels can just go out on CNN and say that because Jake Tapper ain't going to say anything. He's not going to push back on that. And the American people don't know. They go, oh, well, it's good. As long as there's an end to this, it'll be okay. Now, a case can be made that you need the psychological boost when you're trying to fight an economy, which is ironic because Democrats continually say, this is the worst economy ever, the worst economy ever. All they do is grouse about the economy when things are good, so that when they make things bad, they can say, well, we inherited something that was just terrible. But Ginger Goebbels was on, like I said, CNN yesterday. She has an interesting economics lesson for anybody who's got a brain cell in their head. That prices are rising not because of really inflation, or inflation is not really like your typical inflation. Prices are rising because people are just buying more. And that's actually a good thing. You know, all through human history, when actually people buy more, what do you normally see? You see that the companies make it up on volume. They you know, put it on sale to capture even more of the market. Remember when the iPhone came out? You didn't really have to buy an iPhone. You just went to your company and your cell company and signed a 2-year contract and they gave you an iPhone. You bought it, it was like $1,000. But if you showed up and said, I'll be a 2-year commitment, they say, here's the phone. It's the exact opposite somehow now for the Biden administration. Listen to Ginger Goebbels here talking about prices rising because people are buying more.
It is true, though, Jake, and economists will tell you this, and I know you've interviewed some of them as well, that the fact is the unemployment rate is about half what it was a year ago. So a year ago, people were in their homes, 10% of people were unemployed. Gas prices were low because nobody was driving. People weren't buying goods because they didn't have jobs. Now more people have jobs. More people are buying goods. That's increasing the demand. That's a good thing. At the same time, we also know that the supply is low because we're coming out of the pandemic and because a bunch of manufacturing sectors across the world have shut down because ports haven't been functioning as they should be. These are all things we're working through. What people should know is that inflation is going to come down next year. Economists have said that. They're all projecting that. But we're working to attack these cost issues that are impacting the American people every single day.
Well, economists said it, so it must be true, right? Economists have said that inflation is going to come down next year. So whatever you do in Virginia, don't vote for a Republican because you don't like the inflation because it's coming down next year. And next year, when will it be coming down? It'll be coming down in 2023. Unless you, of course, vote for Republicans. Then I can't make any promises. Democrats are only responsible for the good things in an economy. They weren't even in town that month when bad things happened. It's amazing the economic illiteracy, but they're not economically illiterate. Ginger Goebbels knows what the hell she's saying. She also knows that the vast majority of the American public will listen to what she said and say, well, it's coming down next year. Okay, good. Phew, I was worried this was going to be permanent. I guess we can deal with this for, since it's October, we can really deal with this for the next 3 months. And then it will be good. It's good. Thank God there's a finish line. Secretary Mayor Pete is on the same train as Ginger Goebbels. He was on Fox News talking about inflation happening because there's so much demand, because Joe Biden's economy is so good that he's freed up all this demand. It's your fault for wanting. Now, I don't know anybody who's like, you know what? I'm going to just set this huge pile of money on. Well, that's not true. Government. Government will set a huge pile of money on fire. But I don't know anybody who's like come through the pandemic going, you know what? I'm richer than I've ever been, except for maybe Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. And therefore, I am going to buy all the caviar and all the steaks and everything I can. I think most people are just kind of buying what they normally would have bought. But not according to Secretary Mayor Pete. This inflation's happening because Joe Biden's economy is just so damn good. There's so much demand out there. You're rich. You just probably don't realize it.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year. But there are both short-term and long-term steps that we can take to do something about it. Look, part of what's happening isn't just the supply side. It's the demand side. Demand is off the charts. Retail sales are through the roof. And if you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because demand is up, because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession.
Yeah, you got it so good. You don't know how good you got it. That's why things cost more. That's why things cost more is Joe Biden's wonderfully hasn't happened ever before, but this time is different because it's Joe Biden out there doing it. Yeah, those ships out there are not parked off the West Coast because of incompetence and stupid laws that Democrats passed in California, making independent contractors a thing of the past and therefore incentivizing trucking companies to lay people off, therefore leading to a shortage of truck drivers on top of all the ridiculous federal regulations. And then, of course, future environmental regulations that companies are already planning for, saying you got to have electric trucks and blah, blah. No. Don't think about that. It's all because you and your kids desperately want a PlayStation 5. That is why. And Joe Biden made that demand, and it's absolutely wonderful. These people really want credit for the economy coming back when the economy was artificially stopped. Put a kink in a hose, the water stops or slows to a trickle. Then you let it go, and of course it comes roaring back. Fortunately for us, Democratic policies not only enjoy the kink in the hose, they enjoy putting a whole bunch of weights and car tires and everything on the hose so that when you unleash the kink, you still have a whole bunch of other things that are obstructing the flow. It's pathetic. Last clip I want to play of you of Secretary Mayor Pete is him talking about Christmas. Christmas is going to be better this year, thanks to Joe Biden. Now, what did Mayor Pete, Secretary Mayor Pete, say to us a week ago? Well, when asked whether or not Christmas was going to be good, he said, well, if you buy early, you're going to have a fine Christmas. But if you're like him, and he kind of made a joke, and you shop at the last minute, yeah, kids might not get what they want under the Christmas tree. Well, after catching all sorts of hell over that, now the official policy out of the White House apparently is that Joe Biden is Santa Claus, and not just because he likes to have young children sitting on his lap, although I'm sure that's a factor. Listen to Secretary Mayor Pete say, basically, Joe Biden's going to make this the best Christmas ever.
So what I know is that the holidays are going to be a lot better this year than they were last year, because a year ago, millions of Americans were sliding into poverty who now have jobs. And a year ago, a lot of us were gathering with loved ones over a screen. It's going to be different this year because of the president's leadership, because of being able to get more and more Americans vaccinated and make that available free to every American.
Not one single thing does Joe Biden have anything to do with that Pete listed there. Vaccines had nothing to do with it. All he had to do was not screw it up, and he managed to screw it up. Of course, he managed to screw it up pre-election by saying he and his vice president saying, I wouldn't trust this president. I wouldn't trust a vaccine from this president, blah, 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 blah. But everything is different. When you're not bound by reality and you have the confidence, knowing that you will not be fact-checked in any way, shape, or form by any authority, you can say stuff like this. Christmas is going to be great because last year we were in front of screens. Who the hell was in front of a screen? Anybody who was in front of a screen last year for Christmas is probably going to be in front of a screen this year at Christmas because nobody wants to be around you. You're too paranoid. These are the people leading the country. You know, and you sit there and you go, no, I don't really want Mayor Pete to return from paternity leave. Maybe it's better without him on the job. Is that homophobic? No, but I'll be called it. I just don't care. I'm going to shift it up here. Cause we'll get to President Fauci's decree. He's going to let us celebrate the holidays coming up in the future as well while attacking the Republican governor. It's amazing. He could, maybe he's not a partisan hack, but he could just be an idiot. It's possible. There are plenty of people who are educated beyond their intelligence, and maybe that's what Tony Fauci is. But we'll get to that in a second, but I wanted to touch on this because last week I told you about Superman being gay. Yeah, Superman being gay. Superman's son being gay. John Kent. John Kent loves some dude reporter, because why not? When you can't sell your comic books anymore, you try and come up with gimmicks. And I guarantee you that right now, somewhere in this country, there are a whole bunch of people who waited far too long to kiss a girl in their lives, who have piles of the Death of Superman comics probably in their garage, in the rafters somewhere, who all thought at the time, this is gold. This is like printing money. And they printed a ton of those things. But more than that, they printed a ton different of those things. They had different covers. They had some that were sealed in baggies already. DC knew exactly what they were doing. They also knew that they were bringing Superman back. They kept that secret until like a month or two later when they said, oh, hey, he's back. It's a Festivus miracle. But I know people who bought this stuff. They went crazy for it. And you go to any comic book show now or baseball card and comic book show, and you still see like piles of Death of Superman, and you can get them for like $5. You'd have been better off literally throwing your money into a wishing well than buying all of those Death of Superman commemorative editions and this one and that one. But boy, howdy, did DC get an influx of cash. And it's going to be the same thing with Superman's first gay kiss. They're going to go, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're going to make so much money. And people are going to buy it thinking that they're going to. Here's just a pro tip for you. Nothing that is common is valuable. Just keep that in mind. Nothing that is common is valuable. If it's plentiful, it's not valuable. So if you see it everywhere, or you can get it everywhere, or everybody knows it's coming, I don't think there's ever been anything. And I'm somebody who collects things and you know, will try to make a deal. I used to as a kid, since I didn't have any money, I'd go to baseball card shows and I'd bring my book of cards and I could make trades. And my goal was always to like get a box of a new packs to open. And I would find a card on the other side of the room and sell it to the other side of the room before I bought it. Because I couldn't afford to, if I bought it, I got stuck with it. I remember doing that with a 1966 Mickey Mantle one. I wish I still had that. But it was like cheap. And I bought it because I'd sold it across the room for like $5 more than I could buy it for. And that was how I would get to the point where I could buy a box of cards or trade or whatever. God, I wish I had the cards that I had when I was a kid through those deals, because now they're all worth a fortune. But I can tell you this, I can promise you this. There is nothing ever print with collector's edition printed on it that's ever become worth anything. It really just doesn't happen. A limited edition, if they say, well, it's a limited edition, collector's edition, blah, blah, blah. It's limited and they don't, and it's not serial numbered to like 100 or something. It just means that it is strictly limited to the number of copies that they can sell. They don't have to legally say anything like, yeah, no, we're only going to print as many as we can sell, or we're only going to make as many as you can. It can be a commemorative plate. It doesn't matter what it is. If it says a limited edition, collector's edition, whatever, it's not. It's never going to be worth anything. It's the things that nobody bought at the time. The first edition, the first issue of the Walking Dead comic book. Very limited print run because it was printed independently by a couple of guys in a small company. And nobody thought anything of it. And it took, you know, a number of years before somebody said, hey, let's make this into a TV show. And then the TV show blew up. And now the comic book is worth a lot of money. Thousands of dollars. Why? Not because there aren't very many of them. You can buy all the reprint ones you want. But the original ones are tough to come by. So they're expensive. That's the way it works. So if you're thinking about, well, I'm going to buy all the gay Superman comic books, all you, go ahead and do it. That'd probably be $4 or $5 a piece per book. And nobody will want to take it off your hands ever. I promise you that. No one's ever going to, not for a profit. Now, if you're excited that there's a gay Superman, then, you know, knock yourself out. But if you're thinking you're going to make a killing on this, you're not. I promise you, you are not. And now, as they're making Superman gay, they're changing Superman in all sorts of ways. Can't wait for the first trans. And John, sounds like John Kent is got some daddy issues and some mommy issues. I don't know. He'll be trans by the end of next year if this gimmick doesn't work. But now the UK Daily Mail is reporting that they are changing more. Another more important, more quintessentially Superman thing. His slogan, the motto, you know, truth, justice, and the American way. I'm fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Well, it used to be that. And now I don't know. Was that, I guess Christopher Reeve said that in the first Superman movie. And then I don't think it was much of an issue in the rest of the Christopher Reeves movies. Then they did the Superman Returns. In one of them, it was he's still for truth, justice, and all that stuff. They left out the American way because, and that was just in the movie, because Hollywood wants to market to China. And Hollywood will sell out their grandmother to market to China. So the country is no big deal. Well, now DC Comics officially is changing the motto from fighting for truth, justice, and the American way to fighting for truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. And a better tomorrow, not the American way. Why? Well, of course, America is a horribly homophobic, racist, misogynistic country. It's just awful. It's god-awful terrible, and therefore it must be destroyed. It won't be that long before there is a Superman who's fighting against America or something like that. Honestly, given these comic books, if this were real life, I would be advocating for everybody stocking up on kryptonite. It won't be too long before little Johnny Kent is some woke pile of garbage outside a stadium harassing you for going, you're not wearing a mask, and he tries to laser people. We'd have to take him out. But this is just another example of how the left ruins things. Superman was popular around the world with the slogan, with the motto, truth, justice, and the American way. He's been known, he's popular everywhere around the world, and he's been known for that, period. So it's not like they're just making this up and they go, oh man, we're really going to lose a lot of shit. People know what Superman stands for. It's not like he's got it as a tattoo, as a tramp stamp on his lower back or something, and you can't help but see it. I'd venture to guess that the last time anybody in the comic books said we're fighting for truth, justice, and the American way was sometime in the late 80s, early 90s. But they've got to draw attention to it because it's still known. They need to send virtue signals to the left. They're already saying he's gay. He's gay. So you gotta love him because he's gay. But he also, you gotta love him because he also hates America. So he's fully on team left. That's fine. Don't buy the book if you're thinking of it as an investment. If you really want to see what they do to Superman, buy the book. But if you're thinking somehow this is going to be a massive, massive investment, and boy howdy, this is going to do nothing but go straight through the roof, it's never going to happen. They might, I'll tell you how to do it. You go to a comic book store before it comes out, which I think it probably come out tomorrow, so you pretty much got to, it's too late. But they will likely come out with all sorts of commemorative editions, different covers. If you can get your hands on the limited edition, whatever cover they have, that like one per case rather than 100 per case, then maybe you might have something there. It's doubtful still, but that would be it. But this is what they're doing to your childhood. This is where they're going with everything. I can't wait for Batman and Robin or a couple. It's coming. By the way, Superman, the new Superman, is going to be fighting feverishly, not for fashion, but for all manner of liberal causes, equality. He's going to be fighting for social justice. He's going to be fighting for climate justice. There's a picture of gay Superman and his boyfriend and a whole bunch of other cartoon people holding up signs, climate justice now, blah. And you're sitting there and you're going, I'm pretty sure he could handle that. Like, if the earth is getting warmer because of man-made disasters and whatever, pretty sure Superman could, I don't know, push the earth, 10 more feet away from the sun? That should handle it. Give us 10 more feet. That might be able to handle that. There are all sorts of things that could be done. He's Superman, but he won't, because he doesn't care, because it's a hoax, because it's a scam, but it's just virtue signaling. By the way, up in Canada, this is, speaking of climate change, this is one of my favorite stories because this illustrates how the left works on everything. The headline: Antarctica's coldest winter on record doesn't disprove global warming. We've heard it all before. The weather gods get cold and jokes come out. Whatever happened to global warming? Sometimes, though, it's not a joke. Sometimes it's a sign that a person asking the question doesn't fully grasp the science behind the climate change. They may not realize that one data point, Antarctica's coldest winter on record, for example, isn't enough to invalidate a wider trend. Goes on from there, of course, and it's everything you've expected from these leftists. Now, what else do you hear from these leftists, by the way, who sit there and said, well, there's no, if one cold winter doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Well, what do you hear? Oh, this was the hottest August on record. Okay, well, one data point. Well, it's different when it's our way. It's different when it's the other way. It's amazing watching these so-called scientists. They basically declare no contrary evidence is evidence of anything to the contrary. Anything we say is true, and anything that contradicts it is somehow false and a lie, and you should not engage in it. Please do not look at the facts Accept the facts that we are giving you. Don't do any critical thinking. Don't do any math on your own. Math is racist anyway. We've well established that. So just let it go. Coldest Antarctica winter ever. Isn't indications of anything. Well, forgive me if I'm wrong, but if the entire planet is warming and constantly and pretty relentlessly and dangerously to the point that we're almost about all to die, then how the hell could anywhere have the coldest winter ever, let alone a place like Antarctica where it's already pretty damn cold? Are we sure we're looking at the right data set here? Are we sure that we're not putting thermometers, I don't know, on asphalt rooftops and in the middle of urban areas where it's already hotter because of all the concrete and whatnot? There are all sorts of questions that a rational, logical human being would start to ask in a situation like this, because theoretically, if what the left has been telling us for a couple of decades makes what happened in Antarctica impossible. It makes what happened in Antarctica impossible. If the world is warming beyond belief to a dangerous level, you can't have the coldest anything. Because we're all one world. We're all one blue marble flipping through space. But you're not allowed to ask that. The piece that I read you, that's pretty much the entirety of the piece. They don't want you asking any questions, and they're not about to give you any of the answers. They're just saying, look, it's not necessarily indication of anything. Well, then why is it that the opposite is true? The hottest July on record. Another example. And then it was, oh, the hottest summer. Well, they'll say, well, we've had all the hottest summers. And they're, yeah, we've had reliable data for like 50 years. So, yeah, I would think that. How do you explain the medieval warm period? How do you explain the tiny ice age? And then you suddenly are declared a heretic and you're forced to drink some hemlock, because that's how the left works when you go against the Holy Church of global warming and Pope Al Goris I. God help us all. Looking at other things going on in the world, I just see this tweet from the White House. They are really sticking with this $3.5 to $5.5 trillion in spending doesn't cost anything, which is, it's shocking to me that not every so-called fact checker on the face of the earth has gone through and said, this is, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. And given all the Pinocchios and all the piles of manure or whatever else it is that they give out, that should be what they're doing. Cost nothing. The White House tweeted, quote, "The cost of the Build Back Better agenda is $0. The president's plan won't add to our national deficit, and no one making under $400,000 per year will see their taxes go up a single penny. It's fully paid for by insuring big corporations, big evil corporations, and the very wealthy pay their fair share." Now, of course, the very wealthy pay well more than their fair share. Well over half of the income taxes come from the top 1%. But hey, why let the facts stand in the way of a good story? Why let reality get in the way of this liberal messaging? And corporations, of course, don't pay taxes. You do. You do. You tax corporations. They raise their prices. They pass the cost on to you, as they should. How it works. But to sit there and say this won't, it costs nothing because it doesn't add to our debt, first of all, is a lie. We've got trillions of dollars in deficit spending just this year and last year, just in the past 2 years, not to mention a $30 trillion debt sitting out there looming over all of us. But to say, well, if you don't add to, that's like being $100,000 in debt and you make $10,000 a year. But you bought a, I don't know, you bought a car for five. I know you can't buy a car for $500 anymore, but you bought a car for $500 and it was cash. You had cash. And so you said, here's $500 in cash. You're not putting it on a credit card or anything. You go, well, this car cost me nothing because it didn't add to, I didn't put it on a credit card. That's not how spending works. It it costs you $500. This bill, these plans, won't cost nothing. They'll cost $3.5 to $5.5 trillion. Even if, and there's no way in hell they're raising that much in taxes, but even if they did raise that much in taxes and everything went well, see, because this is what happens. During the Clinton administration, this was one of those things that they would do all the time, and the left doesn't seem to understand. There was in one of Bill Clinton's tax hikes, there was a tax on boats, on yachts, because they're going after the rich, you see. And I'm going to get the numbers wrong here just because I'm remembering this off the top of my head. But the concept is true. It was like, if it's a tax on yachts, a luxury tax, a pretty significant one on yachts bigger than 100 feet. Right? Bigger than 100 feet. Because rich guys buy yachts that are over 100 feet. You got to screw them. You got to get them. They need to pay their fair share. Well, what happened? The people that were making the yachts that are over 100 feet started seeing orders decrease. You know, if you know what the difference between a 110-foot yacht and a 99-foot yacht is? Yeah, it's 11 feet, but it can also be millions upon millions of dollars if you avoid paying the luxury tax. Or you, instead of, if you really got to have that 110 feet, you don't buy a new yacht. You buy a used yacht. Who suffers? Not the rich guy with the used 110-foot yacht, but the middle-class guy who makes the 110-foot yacht. Because when orders for the 110-foot yacht plummet, you don't need so many people putting rivets in things and building all the parts and components. So they went after those evil rich people. And they ended up hitting the middle class, the very people that they said they cared about. Now, you can argue until the cows come home whether or not you believe that was accidental or on purpose. It doesn't matter. You have that same mentality coming at this from a point of ignorance, but cocksuredness, absolute certainty that their ignorance is correct, that they're right. That they don't know. It's the arrogance and ignorance. I talk about it with AOC, but it really is the vast majority of the left, wildly ignorant and absolutely arrogant about it. You can't tell them anything. In the case of the White House, though, this Build Back Better agenda, quote unquote, costing $0, that is a complete and total lie. They know they're lying. It was like in the Obama administration when they said, we're going to create all these jobs. And what happened? They weren't creating any jobs. The jobs weren't coming. The raising taxes and imposing regulations didn't work wonders for job creation. So what did they do? Instead of going, what a normal human being would go and what would happen in the private sector is, well, we wanted to do this and we got the exact opposite of what we got. Or what we wanted. We should probably change tactics, change it, take a different path. Instead of that, no, Democrats never go, our plans didn't work, because it was really all just, it was the $800 billion stimulus that Obama rammed through. That was all about paying off his buddies, paying off the donor base, paying off their friends. It worked perfectly from that, but they promised that it would create jobs, and it didn't. That was when Barack Obama said jokingly, well, I guess shovel ready wasn't as shovel ready as we'd thought it would be. Yeah, real hoot. $750 billion set on fire. Your union buddies are richer, but the American public didn't get any jobs. And you just go, well, what are you going to do? Oopsie. So what did the Obama administration do? The Obama-Biden administration. So you can see where this comes from, since it's largely the same people, just with an old crusty white guy at the helm. What they did was they created the jobs saved or created unit of measure. It was a masterful stroke of propaganda that Joseph Goebbels himself probably wouldn't have had the cojones to try. But the Obama-Biden administration had no problem with it whatsoever because they knew that the media would most definitely be down with the cause and let it slide. And there was no questioning of it. No reporter stood up and said, Mr. President or Mr. Press Secretary, whoever it was, anybody, they didn't say, how do you measure jobs saved. Because their argument was that their massive spending saved a bunch of jobs. So there were literally millions upon millions of Americans who did not lose their jobs, who otherwise would have, had they not set, you know, $750 billion to their donor base. There's no way to know that. I saved your life. How did you save my life? Well, as you were leaving the mall today, I grabbed you by the arm and held you up for about 5 seconds. Okay? But in the grand scheme of the universe, it's a butterfly effect. One thing leads to another, and 15 years from now, you were going to be hit by a car and killed. But since I held you up for 10 seconds here at the door, you're now 10 seconds behind where you were going to be otherwise. I saved your life. You're welcome. You can sit there and you go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't disprove it, but it is the dumbest thing you've ever heard. I assume a whole bunch of third-party observers would have some serious questions as to how it was this person was making this claim, because it's absurd. Yet the Obama-Biden administration was able to say we saved or created jobs. They weren't creating them. We had the numbers on job creation. They weren't there. It was, we saved all of these jobs. Oh, aren't we wonderful? We saved these jobs. It's kind of like taking your walking over to the edge of a building and then pretending to push a friend off, but, you know, just grabbing them and shaking them a little bit. So I saved your life. I could have pushed you off there, but I saved your life. Like, oh, okay, thanks. Except this is even more nebulous because they literally could have pushed you off. There's no way to prove or disprove that they saved your job. That's the Biden administration going, well, we're going to save all this money. We're going to, this is, it won't cost a penny. They're just making it up. And the fact checkers are not going, ding, 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 wait a second. This does not make any sense. This does not compute. They just let it slide. They're too busy fact-checking Donald Trump statements. CNN is still, Donald Trump had to sit down for a deposition today, or scheduled to sit down for a deposition today, because somebody claims that his personal security had roughed them up in 2015 or something like that. These leftists, they're just inundating Donald Trump with, and anybody they can, with lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. It's really just about getting the discovery phase so they can get Donald Trump under oath. Donald Trump is now under oath about an incident I doubt he remembers, but they're going to be talking about it all day long and perhaps all week long on CNN about how massive this is. And oh boy, howdy, this is just the first of many. There are like a dozen lawsuits or something like that, civil cases, completely unrelated to anything, that want to sit down and have conversations with Donald Trump. And the left is frothing at the mouth over the prospect of this. It's incredibly stupid. It's asinine. It's dumb. But they're going to do it. That will be the story of the day. They won't be fact-checking. Daniel Dale over at CNN will not be fact-checking to find out whether or not you can spend $3.5 trillion and have it cost nothing. Which, if they found the way, like if there's a unicorn that poops money, I want to know about it. I want an ownership stake in that unicorn. Or I want to buy a unicorn. I don't know what you'd call a unicorn puppy, but I want a unicorn puppy. Whatever it is, you feed it a carrot and it poops out a $100 bill, I'm down with that. If the government has one, I think we should all have one. But I don't think they do. I think it's just Joe Biden and his fellow travelers on the left straight up lying because they want to push through their agenda. They don't give a damn. I actually do have, I want to play this. Joe Biden talked about the right to vote. And I'm looking at my Twitter feed. And right after that tweet, the White House, Joe Biden's official at Joe Biden government account, tweeted this out over the weekend. And it's Joe Biden talking about the right to vote. It is a 19-second video. If you just want to know how far gone Joe is, keep in mind, the 19-second video, you can see him reading the teleprompter or cue cards or whatever it is. So it's written out for him. And in this 19-second video, you'll hear it. There's an, well, maybe you won't hear it. You can see it in the video because it jumps to a different shot. There is an edit. They didn't move the camera. It just zoomed in a little bit. It's probably, you know, we'll take from take two and we'll take from take seven, a 19-second clip talking about voting rights. If this guy can't get through 19 seconds worth of words that are written out for him, that all he has to do is read, and he can't successfully deliver them, then we're in worse shape than I thought. Listen to Joe Biden talking about the sacred right to vote, and he needs an edit.
We need to protect the sacred right to vote. It's under assault, you know, in ways that I haven't seen in my entire career. It's about who gets to vote, but here's the kicker, and whether that vote counts, and whether the system that does both with integrity and independence is available to us.
An edit in there. Not long. Not a long clip, 19 seconds long, and they had to cut it together from several takes. And he tweeted this out, by the way, from his account. The 21st century Jim Crow assault is real. It's unrelenting, and we're going to challenge it vigorously. And that's the video they attached to it. And he needed an edit. And then he probably needed a nap, because that's how he rolls. There's just so much stupidity out there. It's really tough to cram it all in. It really, really is. Mayor Pete saying, "Fade family leave is not a vacation." How much you want to bet he's got a nanny? I just bet you he's got a nanny. Up in Canada, officially now, their government they don't have a Bill of Rights. They don't have a constitution. They have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is a loose guideline that can be suspended whenever it wants and is wildly open to interpretation. It's really what the left would love to do with the constitution here. But in official government documents, they have now banned people in government, even in their personal capacity in sending emails, from using the phrase, "Let's go, Brandon." This is really sent out on October 14th to all the Canadian government employees. A good day. This is a formal notification that all government correspondents must be professional in nature and approved by department heads. When applicable, all correspondents must be vetted by the PMO for framing and message prior to public disclosure or internal distribution. Further, name redacted, signature block salutations must be approved messaging and provided in bilingual format as designed by regional guidelines. 1A, the use of colloquialisms or sayings with intended double meaning or offense are strictly prohibited in all means of correspondence and or communications. And 1B, specifically, the use of the wording "Let's go, Brandon," and any variation thereof under any circumstances is banned by the Canadian Public Service. Can't say "Let's go, Brandon" up there. Apparently that has made its way north of the border, and I suspect Joe Biden is not too happy. Meanwhile, the American Civil Liberties Union, you think, well, we're Americans, our rights are protected in this country. No, they're not. And they're constantly under assault by leftists. And you used to be able to count on the American Civil Liberties Union occasionally to go, well, at least we're free for free speech, right? They defended some of the worst people in the world and their right to free speech because it was about free speech. And of course, awful speech, horrible speech, hate speech, dare I even say, is really the only speech that needs protecting, right? If you're saying something popular all the time, who's going to try to shut you up? Of course, you have to defend the awful speech, because if you get rid of that, then there'll be more awful speech. And they'll redefine what constitutes awful speech, and eventually they will come for you. So you have to say there's no line to cross. There's no line at all. Anybody can say whatever they want. The ACLU used to be good on that. Not anymore. They announced during the Trump administration that they would no longer be fighting for free speech because they did not like some of the people that were being harassed by government for their speech were Trump supporters. They didn't want that. And now the ACLU of Virginia. Yeah, because every state has its own ACLU. They're making more money than they ever knew what to do. They sent this out over the weekend. Breaking. Three teachers in Loudoun County are going to court simply because they don't want to use trans and non-binary students' pronouns. Now, that first sentence might lead you to think, and so we're going to defend them because you can't compel speech from people. You can't force people to call you tree and leaf as your pronouns, because that's literally some of the stupid stuff that they do. But no, you'd be wrong about the ACLU. They're fighting to compel speech. They say, we and partners filed an amicus brief to tell the court, refusing to use a student's pronouns because of who they are is discrimination. Forcing you, the ACLU comes out in favor of being able to force you to use certain terms, to speak in a way. By the way, I believe the pronouns, one of them is fairy. Like fairy self, they link to it. They have their amicus brief there. This is the United States, the American Civil Liberties Union. They want to compel teachers to use made-up pronouns for students because the students decreed it to be so. And your reality, actual reality, now has to be altered because some leftist said we declare this to be. The ACLU has always been a left-wing organization, the American Civil Liberties Union. But now it is actively becoming an enemy of the Constitution of the United States and the freedoms that we hold dear. If you or anybody you know have been giving to them based on what they used to be, this is who they are now. Be aware of that. As we wrap it up here today, a couple of quick hits. Here, these people are insane. Slate. Slate.com, left-wing magazine, online magazine, failed. I don't know why. For some reason, liberals look at, rich liberals go, that's a huge commercial failure. I will write a giant check to keep it going. Why? Why wouldn't you just let it die? But they do. Slate, the headline, I'm a little bummed that Adele lost weight. The subheadline is, yes, I know it's not about me, but it's not just about Adele either. And it goes on to talk about fat shaming and everything like that. It's by somebody called Sharon Paulus. I did a Google search, and you can draw your own conclusions from that. This is not a visual medium, but this is the mindset of the left. They look at Adele and they go, oh my God, she lost weight. She shouldn't have lost weight. She's setting a bad example for other morbidly obese women out there trying to tell them that you must be skinny. No, it's a personal choice. You want to be fat and get diabetes and whatever, then it's up to you. Knock yourself out. But to sit there and this perpetrate this lie, especially in the midst of a pandemic that does what? Disproportionately impacts people who are morbidly obese, right? That's what we're told. Because it's true. And we're told, don't lose weight, Adele. Don't lose weight, Adele. Well, why? You want Adele to die? And it's not just Slate. It is Evie Magazine. Adele looks fantastic, and saying so isn't body shaming. There's article after article after article about how it is it's wrong to point out that Adele lost weight, or that one Rebel Wilson, I guess is her name. She lost a bunch of weight too. Adele looks good. Unfortunately, Rebel Wilson didn't. But then there's Demi Lovato. I love this side-by-side. Demi Lovato is a singer. Good singer. When I was at the Democrat convention in, I don't even remember. I guess it was, had to be 2016. I got to see Demi Lovato during her rehearsal song. It was like maybe 100 people in the room. It was in the big, big theater. Good looking back then. Now she is polysexual. I don't know what the hell she declared herself to be. She's got mental problems that she admitted for a long time. But you can't tie that to her new pronouns and her new gender identity. But there's a side-by-side picture of Demi Lovato from like 4 years ago. Very beautiful woman, to Demi Lovato today. Looks like a truck driver who fell into a puddle of mud and never really got out of it. Never really got out of it. But she uses plural pronouns now. The ACLU will come after you if you don't follow suit. Ruth Marcus, on the other hand, she is the deputy editorial page editor and a columnist over at the Washington Post. So you know she's awful. She's apparently up in Madison, Wisconsin for whatever reason. It's weird how these liberals would tell you to stay home, travel so much, isn't it? And she decided the world needed to know this. So yesterday she took to her Twitter account and said, quote, in Madison, Wisconsin. By now, I should know better, but I get in an elevator. It stops on lower floor. Man steps in unmasked. Sign in elevator says masks required. Me getting out, quote, you know, it would be really nice if you wore a mask, end quote. Man, quote, I don't care what you think, end quote. America 2021. it should be Karen Marcus, shouldn't it? Can you imagine being, okay, you had this experience, and I'm so sorry for your loss, Ruth Marcus. But what is it in your mentality, in your please tell me what to do and how to live my life mentality? You're wearing a mask. You're safe, right? You're wearing a mask. What is it that you had this experience and you go, somewhere in the back of your head, the voice says, the world needs to know. You just experienced this, but the world needs to know. What? Because you don't look good in that scenario. These people are insane, and they're never going to stop. She's double vaccinated, probably triple vaccinated by now. But some guy gets on an elevator, and she pulls the emergency stop button and runs out and goes, you should have been wearing a mask, because the leaflet nailed to the sign in there says you should. God, they're good little dogs, aren't they? They're good little dogs. Lastly, the Pope. As a Catholic, I feel obligated to, as a real Catholic, I feel obligated to criticize the Pope. He tweeted out yesterday, quote, the big food corporations to stop imposing monopolistic production and distribution structures that inflates prices and ends up withholding bread from the hungry. Your Holiness, teach people how to make bread. Problem solved. And it's government, progressive government, that you advocate that is causing these problems you want to decry and creating people who are dependent on government for their bread. Go in the opposite direction. Embrace freedom, Pope. Ugh. Sorry, he's the Pope. We're out of time. We'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
As you might imagine, we're bottle feeding and doing it at all hours of the day and night.